Okay, folks, we lost our audio for a second there. Sorry about that. This is Pam with Authors on the Air. I'm going to go ahead and get Paul Levine back on with me in just a half a second here. Let me dial up his number, and we'll go back to our conversation. So bear with me just a minute. Don't you just love Comcast with all your heart and soul? I certainly do. Hang on one second, and I'll get Paul on the line. And then we'll continue our conversation.
Hello.
Okay, so we're back with Paul Levine. Sorry about that, Paul. Don't you just love Comcast with all your heart and soul?
Well, I don't have them. Okay.
There you go. Lucky you. So I'm sorry, we got cut off when we were talking about Jake has decided that a guy from the Dolphins has been arrested, accused, and put on trial for murdering his wife. And Jake is pretty certain that he did it, but he gives it his best effort regardless, and the guy is found not guilty, which everybody knows not guilty does not mean that he was innocent.
That's correct.
Right.
That's correct.
Okay.
As you have suggested, Jake has an irrational reaction to this. He's seen injustice before, but why this time does he decide to kill his client? And his dear friends, Solomon and Lord, plus his old corner buddy, Doc Charlie Riggs, fear that something's wrong with him medically. And as you began our talk tonight, you talked about wrong way Lassiter makes the tackle, gets the concussion. His first concussion. Those go back to high school when he ran into the goalpost, you know, head first and broke the goalpost. And they fear that he has chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE, which has been in the news a lot, not just on the sports pages. And that may be why he is behaving so irrationally.
So I love the fact that what we call our ethically challenged friend, Steve Solomon, decides to step in to help along with his partner and girlfriend, Victoria Lord. And, of course, Charlie Riggs, you'll have to explain who Charlie Riggs is because even though he's an ancillary character, his role is always pivotal in every book that he appears.
Well, Doc Charlie Riggs is on one hand the moral voice and the moral code of Jake Lassiter. He was the coroner of Dade County, the medical examiner, and he was fired basically because he wouldn't twist his findings to help the prosecution. A lot of medical examiners are often thought to favor the state, favor the prosecution over the defense in homicide trials. He wouldn't do that. He got fired. He's known Jake since Jake came out of Knight Law School, was a public defender. Jake got his job in the PD's office, he says, because he was big enough that he wasn't afraid to park in the jail parking lot at night. You know? But he didn't know his way around the courtroom. So Doc Riggs helped him with that and helps him to this day. And he's in bum luck. He's pushing Jake, Doc Riggs is, to get a neurological exam because Jake not only is saying, I'm going to kill my client, he's having brutal headaches, dizziness, he's getting lost sometimes or missing the exit off the freeway, and something is amiss.
It's a great premise, and it scared the devil out of me when you first told me about your book. I was thinking, could this possibly be the end of Jake Lassiter? Because, after all, he's a beat-up athlete, even though he didn't have to play that many games. But like you said, he was on the suicide squad. So he's taken his fair shits and hits and shits and been in a fair amount of fights, too, outside of the courtroom as well and off the playing field.
Well, you know, we know today, I don't want to get off on CTE and turn this into a medical show, but we know that subconcussive hits, repeated blows to the head, say in practice, in football, or in rugby, or in soccer, can have a damaging effect and can have brain injury. We also know the National Football League really was shameful in, I don't know if I want to say covering up, but certainly not aggressively pursuing and disclosing what they knew about head injuries until very, very recently. And of course, they've been sued by the Players Union and they're paying off nearly $1 billion in a settlement.
Really?
But to veteran players who have suffered for basically in the same kind of theory that the tobacco companies were paying those huge settlements, and that is they knew of the danger and covered up the danger. So again, that's not what the book is about. The book is about, was Thunder Thurston really guilty? What is Jake really going to kill him? And what about Jake's medical condition? And through another case he's involved in, he meets a neuropathologist, Dr. Melissa Gold, who does some tests on him. And I don't want to give away now too much, but let's just say that it is an issue. Right.
You know, now, I don't really follow football anymore because, you know, the Dolphins haven't been good in so long, and it's just
right. It's
heartbreaking. But is this the same type of injury as a boxer has, or is that a different kind of an injury, or would it?
That's a very good question. That's a really, really good question for somebody who doesn't know about football. It has been known for decades that what we used to call punch drunk is actually,
right.
Yes, remember that? Well, that's a medical condition called dementia pugilista, you know, pugilist. CTE is virtually the same injury, the same disease, I should call it, because it's organic brain disease. So yes, don't let your kids grow up to be boxers or maybe football players. Yeah,
football players. Well, I know that there was also in NASCAR driving a big issue about accidents where the driver's head snapped back. And they were injuring the back of their head, so now they wear a neck brace for racing. So I know a little bit about it. I'm just, you know, I don't follow any of it. Did you have to do a lot of research for this, Paul? I mean, I know that you are a huge college football fan, Penn State to be exact. I know that you go to the games and all. So I know you have some knowledge about it because you also crawl the sidelines of every game when you're there. But how much research did you do on this, and what did you find out about it?
Well, yes, I did. I had to do medical research, had to do some sports research, if you want to call it that.
Wow.
And I guess what I learned is that the situation is actually far worse than we realized. You know, they did autopsies on 94 former NFL players who, when they died, were exhibiting some symptoms of brain disease, which could even just be confusion. I mean, these were not 80-year-old people. These were 60-year-old people, 58-year-old people.
Right.
And 90 out of the 94 showed evidence of brain damage, CTE. We now know that teenage girls who play soccer and use their head and headers to hit the ball can suffer.
Right.
So we have to rethink a lot of things about contact sports, or even, you know, we don't really think of soccer as a contact sport, but it is.
But it is. Yeah, my stepdaughter's knees were torn up playing soccer, so I understand that. Now, what about, you know, I hear and notice that there's a lot of parental concern about kids going into, you know, I don't know if it's called Little League for football or what, you know, maybe that's a baseball
right.
term, but playing, you know, the midget sports.
Pop Warner.
The little
mm-hmm.
kids. Pop Warner, is that what it's called, the football?
That's
so,
one of them. That's one of them.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess, can it start that young? I mean, can they be, you know, can they?
Well, yes. And in fact, in bum luck, Jake's nephew who lives with him, Kip, plays on the private school team in Miami that people will recognize as being Ransom Everglades, but I call
Ransom
it something
of course.
I call it something else in the book. But it sits on Biscayne Bay in Coconut Grove, and it's mostly composed of kids who are not going to go on to play college football. It's a private school, kind of a ritzy private school. And Jake is really worried about Kip, who is not a big, stocky guy with a strong neck and all of that, is more gangly and all of that, and suggests to him, Kip, why don't you go out for the chess club instead? But Kip, you know, debate would be a good team. Kip idolizes his Uncle Jake and wants to be like him. And there's one scene, actually, where Jake says, you know, in practice, and Kip's a wide receiver, if you're going over the middle and you know, the ball is overthrown, and instead of kind of stretching out for it and getting, you know, creamed by a linebacker or a defensive back, you know, maybe just short arm it. Don't do it in practice. Uncle Jake, what are you talking about? You got to practice the way you play the game. You always told me that. What are you saying? So, not only is it a personal, what's that?
Yeah. It's
a personal crisis.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's really this cognitive dissonance about, should he have played football? Should his nephew play football? What's going on here? And, you know, am I ill because of that? And at the same time, he's plotting to kill Thunder Thurston, his client, who apparently got away with murder.
Jeez. So I want to ask you before I let you go, because I know we're on a short string right here. But whose books are you reading now? What are you reading that you can recommend?
Oh boy, there's a good question. You know, I enjoy Harlan Coben. I enjoy Michael Connelly. I like Carl Hiaasen's new book Razor Girl a lot. I like Dave Barry's new book a lot. So I kind of go back and forth between the Florida authors and the other authors. And
yep.
Every once in a while, I go back, and you talked about rereading, and I'll reread Raymond Chandler's The Big Sleep or some of his short stories. Yeah.
Yeah, how can you not? I had occasion, I was telling you before the show that I was at the Southwest Readers Fest and had occasion to sit and chat for quite a while with Craig Pittman, who is kind of along the
Florida.
Lines of your buddies, Dave and Carl, you know, who writes a really funny story. His book is called Oh Florida. But he's got a funny, funny newsletter, too, and talks about the top headlines in Florida. And some of them are so funny because, you know, where else are you going to you're going to read about, you know, an alligator that gets, I don't know, swallowed by a snake, you know, and dies, or one that's so big on the golf course that they have to have a crane lifted off.
Craig is very much like Hiaasen in that weird Florida sense, and Dave Barry also, although I think, and I would say this to all three of them, who are all friends, that henceforth, you've done the alligators, you know, we got to move on. You know, too many alligator stories. There's way more in Florida that you can make fun of without using alligators.
Oh, God, no, isn't it the truth? But you chose to stick with the courthouse. Paul, when you were an attorney, did you when you were doing your thing as an attorney? I don't even know what to call it anymore. You know, you've practiced long enough, for crying out loud. You should know what you're doing.
Yeah, see, I'm still an attorney. Don't lead people to think I've been disbarred. When I was practicing, that would be fine. Yes.
Never. You were practicing, you know, and got the hang of it and said, I don't want to do this anymore.
Well, you know, Jake, in one of the early books, Jake says, I've never been disbarred, committed, or convicted of moral turpitude, and the only time I was arrested, it was a case of mistaken identity. I didn't know the guy hit was a cop.
That's right. Did you practice criminal law when you were practicing?
I did not. That's sort of odd. I was a civil litigator, which is to say I handled lawsuits between big, boring corporations and did not find it particularly satisfying.
My brother does the same thing. So here's, by the way, the top five Oh Florida stories of the week by Craig Pittman, just so you know. Two deputies were joking around and actually tasered a school security monitor, knocking him out, and then lied about it. Okay, and then an inspector says a court clerk embezzled $75,000 from licensing fees for strippers. You gotta love
well,
that.
The best part of that story is, of course, is that there are licensing fees for strippers. You know, who knew?
That's right. That's right. So that's just to tell you, when you live in Florida, it's a rich, fertile ground for creative minds like Paul Levine and et al. Paul, I cannot thank you enough for being with me. I wish you much success with Bum Luck. I have to tell you that I read it. I reviewed for NetGalaxy on one of their power readers. And as always, I love your books. I wish you all the best. Come back and visit with me again soon.
Thank you, Pam Stack. It's always a pleasure. Same time next year.
Thanks. There you go. Talk to you. Thank you.
Great.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
And that's our show for right now. I'll be back later on. In about 9 minutes.